If you consider yourself a sports fan, you should know who Ed O'Bannon is, but if you only know him as a basketball player, hopefully by the end of today's conversation, you'll have a better understanding of the lasting impact he's had on the way we approach college sports in this country. Former UCLA star and NBA veteran Ed O'Bannon, thank you so much for joining me.
No problem, Noah. Thank you.
Your new book is called Court Justice: Inside, the Inside Story of My Battle Against the NCAA. And before we dive into O'Bannon versus NCAA, I just wanted to clear something up because I think a lot of people, when they hear lawsuit, they automatically think, of course, this is all about the money. So before we get into any of the specifics of what the case is and how it all played out, how much money did you make from winning this case?
I didn't make anything. No money. I didn't make any money.
And
whatsoever.
And you talked a little bit about some job opportunities that you might have even had that potentially dried up because you were involved in this, right?
That is correct. It was to be expected. I will be honest about that. And those were some of the pros and cons that my wife and I weighed prior to taking on this role. But I figured it was going to happen. And yeah, to answer your question, that is correct.
So without diving too deep into all the sort of the legal particulars, let's talk about the basic outcome of the case, what it means for college sports. On a broad level, the NCAA is prohibited from keeping athletes from earning compensation beyond their scholarships. There's some different components to this, but we haven't seen a lot of this really sort of take hold yet, like in practice, right?
That is correct. I think the athletes, the power is in their hands, and I think when they're ready to really take the next step as far as having this all play out, they will show up. But right now it's almost kind of in limbo. The conversation is had. There's actually a ruling on it, and it was over. It was overturned. So it's still kind of up in the air. But when the athletes are ready, they'll show up.
And one part of this is, and sort of how you initially found yourself involved, has to do with the likenesses. There's sort of the broad conversation about should college players get paid money? Should they make a salary? Should they be able to make money? But then there's also the side of, using their images, to make money for the schools, to make money for the NCAA, to make money for college coaches who make seven-figure salaries. So explain a little bit about how you first sort of became aware that this was out there and why, what made it worthwhile for you to sort of put your name on this case and be as involved as you've been?
Well, because it kept just popping up in my face. And there were many times where I wasn't even a part of any program. And what I mean by that is even before I made my decision to go to a school, initially I was going to go to UNLV, and then the NCAA hit them with sanctions, and so I ended up transferring. And then once I was done, later on, fast forward into 2008, is when I saw my avatar. And then on top of that, a couple of weeks later, Sonny Vaccaro called me and with the idea and his plans of suing the NCAA. So I guess my point is this opportunity just kept popping up in my face. And finally I says, something has to be done. I seem to be in front of it all the time. It seems to be happening to me. I might as well do something about it. And so, that's when I decided to be a part of this lawsuit.
And you finished your career, your UCLA career in 95. You'd finished your NBA career before any of this even came up. This was 2008, I think, right? With the video games in 2009. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's certainly interesting to be having a discussion with you about all this the day after the sanctions against Louisville came down for their various recruiting violations and whatnot from a few years ago. So they had to vacate their 2013 national championship. And I know that retroactive penalties like that kind of grab the headlines and are the story for the broad audience. But to me, like personally, it sort of seems beside the point and secondary. I'm curious how you feel about kind of that whole situation. And if you think that maybe the real message of like why these things keep happening in college sports gets lost in the sensationalism of that story.
Yes, exactly. And it's unfortunate that the ones always that seem to pay the price are the players. For example, in a different subject, the USC football team, a lot of those players suffered the consequences of the actions of people that were, there long before they were there. And this is the same, I wouldn't say the same thing, but these athletes, these basketball players, these national champions at Louisville, the players I'm talking about, now every time there'll be a star next to their name, because of other people. And so that's unfortunate, but, that's kind of where this game has gone. And this is kind of how the times have changed. You almost have to break everything down to build it back up. And that's almost kind of how it feels right now. It's like, everyone's at each other's throats. Once everything is done, and the smoke clears, we can build the game back up. That's how it seems like we're headed.
Well, and sort of as you alluded to, I mean, it seems like there's something fundamentally broken. Like clearly people are trying to find ways to pay the players that are not above board, that don't fit, the NCAA model of amateurism. And it's happening, it's widespread, and it's finally kind of coming up into the light. But the whole sort of argument for amateurism in general, even aside from the schools paying players as sort of pseudo professionals, like just their ability to make money. And you get into this in your 12 rules with the very first rule, which I to me is the most sort of immediately impactful potential one, which is empower college athletes to capitalize on their brands. What could the NCAA possibly have against Lonzo Ball making money from his ball sneakers if he's wearing those, or against, why shouldn't Baker Mayfield, if he's going to be the Heisman Trophy winner, be able to do Gatorade ads? Like, even if he's not getting paid by Oklahoma, they're 18 years old and up. They're legal adults using their skill. You made some comparisons to various musicians or people in other industries who are college students making money. What is the NCAA's argument at all against them using their skill to make money as a legal adult?
Right, exactly. And I don't know what their argument really is. They don't have a legitimate argument. And I think that's kind of the point. I don't get why. It doesn't take. You're not taking billions away from, or you're not taking money out of that $1 billion pot that they have rolling in every year after the season ends. They would be controlling their own likeness. If a kid wants to go to the mall, if an apparel store, wants a kid to come to the mall and to their store and sit down and for a couple hours and sign autographs, for $500. Why can't that kid do it? They seem to be easy solutions. Solutions that not only are easy, but they can keep trouble at bay. If it is trouble to take a $500 handshake, that would be against the rules. But these are stupid rules anyway. So, I don't understand why these rules are in place. Everyone else has total control of their likeness in every other walk of life. I think it's illegal to put a cap on the athletes' lives and their likeness. You know, so we have a long way to go. We've come, I guess, a short distance, but we have a long way to go to get these athletes what they deserve. I think this would be a great start.
One of the things that always kind of interests and confuses me is the people who have nothing to do with the NCAA, just college sports fans, right? Sports fans in general, Americans who tend to think of themselves as, you know, champions of personal freedom and free economic people who end up siding with the NCAA and saying, oh, well, college athletes shouldn't be getting paid. They're already getting scholarships, that yada, yada, yada. It seems like that the whole argument for amateurism just sort of rests on the fact that, like, this is how we've always done this, right? There's no like legitimate basis if you believe in all of these other things to sort of support it. What kind of conversations have you had with people, not NCAA people, just sports fans, who come at this from the other side and are against college athletes getting paid? What have those conversations sort of been like? I'm curious, you know, do you feel like you're changing people's minds? Do you feel like there's just some sort of stubborn mindset that's in place just because this is how things have always been?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of times it's like banging your head against the wall, quite honestly. I think we've been conditioned to think that because, like you said, these rules and thoughts have been in place for decades. And anytime you introduce change, immediately the wall goes up, you know. And so I think that's what's going on here. I think the typical sports fan has been conditioned to think that, to feel that, to say that, and that's fine. You know, you're not going to convince everyone. You're not going to change everyone's mind, and I don't attempt to even try. I wouldn't even consider thinking about it. You know, so you know, certain people are going to think certain ways, and that's fine. But on the same token, they have there's a certain place in my mind where they go. And I stick to, my game plan. Me personally, I stick to my game plan, what I'm trying to get accomplished. And if you like it and you're aboard, great. If not, hey, that's great too.
So what is that next thing for you now? I mean, we've seen, you know, the initial ruling in 2014, and the appellate court kind of hold up and reinforce some of that more recently. Where does this go next for you? You know, in terms of your own involvement in trying to, you know, empower college players to take advantage of their situation.
I've tried to kind of disappear into the sunset, if you will, but it seems to kind of keep calling me back. So I don't know. I don't exactly other than continuing to talk about it, to continue to hammer my point home, hammer our point home. It is a passion of mine. Initially, it was something that I just wanted to be a part of. Eventually, it grew into something much, much bigger, for me, in my family's lives, as well as just, in college sports, I guess. You know, my biggest thing is to continue to talk about it and, continue to try and hammer my points home, and that is to for athletes, current as well as former, to control their likeness. Hopefully, the kids will, and this is one of the points at the end, one of the 12 points. Hopefully, the athletes will get a seat at the table. That would be nice. I say hopefully, it's not like it's up for debate or anything, but I would like to see players get a seat at the table with the NCAA and talk about some of the rules that are in place and what concerns they have, what bothers them, that sort of thing. Maybe they can hash things out. I've always felt like an open line of communication is best in any working relationship. And I think the athletes and the NCAA, they need a better relationship. They have no relationship. You know, it's such a there's such a disconnect, I guess, between the two parties. They need an open line of communication. I don't think that they would be hard to find. The athletes would be hard to find someone to represent or a group to represent them. That is another place I'd like to see things go. I don't know. What's next? Just to continue to hammer home, our points. Hopefully things will change for the better in the near future.
He is Ed O'Bannon, a basketball player and much more. His book is Court Justice, The Inside Story of My Battle Against the NCAA. Not just a history of the case, but also a 12-point plan to a call to action, as you call it, to fix college sports. There's certainly plenty of talk about what's wrong with it, but actually offering solutions. Thank you again so much for joining me.
My pleasure, Noah. Thank you for having me.